Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, starting at verse number 27. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So I have a very important question to ask you. Who are you going to vote for in 2020? Why are y'all looking nervous? Like this is, in 618 days, we will have another election where we will be voting for Congress, and we'll be voting for local officials, and we'll be voting again for the President of the United States. Now, for any of you who think talk of the election is premature or out of place, I would direct you to any news outlet, any print media, or any social media platform. Already, all of those outlets are going crazy over the next presidential election, even though it's 618 days away. What will we see over the next 600 days, year, less than 2 years away? If you're nervous or thinking that I'm about to drift into some political rhetoric and in support of a candidate or against a candidate, you have no need to be nervous. I'm not going there. But I can't help but give commentary on how elections and politics have created we've created a new world order. And in this new world order, within this new world order, there is an atmosphere of rivalry, vitriolic speech, that's just speaking mean to each other, accusations, and just outright rudeness toward one another. Can I get a A-M-E-N on that? Can I get an amen on that? Is it just me that see that? Now, many of us in this room will decry the very practice of harsh political debate. We will say that that's just terrible. I don't want to hear it. We'll begin to roll our eyes and say, I don't want to participate in it. Or, man, elections and political stuff, it just makes me sick. And some of us, we're just so tired of it. But still, some of us that roll our eyes and some of us that's so sick of it, we also participate in it. We also get involved in these harsh debates with one another about who you voted for or who you don't vote for. I can't believe you don't support this person, or how could you support that person? And we get right into it. Now, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and I see it all the time. I see Christians, I see followers of Jesus doing this very thing. We'll come to church and we'll take communion and we'll talk about peace. peace and love and how we love each other in spite of our difference. And then we get on Facebook and Twitter and we lose our minds. Now, I'm not leveling any accusations at anyone in here. I'm just sharing a reality of our world. Political rivalry has made enemies of one another in the church. There was a time when people of faith were able to ascribe and subscribe to a political ideology without being harassed, ostracized, or labeled. I think I've told this story here before. I remember years ago, it was about 1996, I was at Rochester College, it was Michigan Christian College at the time, and there was the election that year between Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. And I remember in chapel one day, Chrissy, you remember this, I think, you were there. In chapel one day, they said, today we're going to have a presidential debate. There were going to be two professors. One professor was going to be Bill Clinton. He was a Bill Clinton supporter. And one professor was going to be Bob Dole. He was a Bob Dole supporter. Bob Dole was supported by a guy by the name of Dr. John Todd, a wonderful professor at Rochester College. I believe he's still there. He actually worked in the Nixon administration. He was shot down in Vietnam. He was a very strong conservative Republican. He was a history teacher, great guy. The person supporting Bill Clinton was Dr. Mel Storm. He was one of my Bible professors, a man who has had a tremendous impact on my life through the teaching of Scripture. And we got in chapel, and they announced it for days and did it up, and people came into chapel with their signs. You know, you had the Clinton people, and you had the Bob Dole people, and they had their debate, and they went at each other, and it was funny, and it was lighthearted. It got serious at times, and then at the end, we all clapped for both, and all the people who had the signs put the signs out. And then we went to lunch and ate lunch together. And that's just how it was. No one said, can you believe what Dr. Todd said? Can you believe Dr. Storm supports Bill Clinton? How could a Christian's? There was none of that. There was none of that. They weren't enemies. They happened to be colleagues, very close colleagues, that when it came to political candidates, they disagreed with each other. Do y'all remember that time when you were able to do that? You can't do that anymore. That's why a lot of people don't even tell you who they vote for or support anymore, because of the fear of being labeled as something that they're not. It's like, look, we disagree. There was a time when that could happen. Frankly, it amazes me that within the body of Christ, we often take up sides and become enemies with one another based on politics. I wonder, when Jesus spoke the words I read earlier from the Gospel of Luke, if he envisioned that these words would be more useful in helping disciples deal with one another rather than dealing with outside and hostile forces. I wonder if Jesus had in mind, love your enemies, if he was talking about what would happen when you become enemies within the body of Christ. I wonder if Jesus envisioned a time and day when enemies were not individuals who sought out to cause you physical or bodily harm, but those who sat in the pew or chair next to you and voted for a different candidate. I wonder, when Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you, if he projected that these were words that should be employed to Christians who are insistent on posting harmful rhetoric or videos on Twitter or Facebook. Church, I wonder, how golden is the golden rule? God's wisdom is infinite and his words are timeless. So I'm not surprised that his words speak directly into our context today. But I can't help but express a little disappointment that within the body of Christ, we continue to let outside forces create enemies within the body of Christ. It's amazing how finding out who someone votes for induces panic when that person doesn't vote the way you thought they should vote or vote like you vote. It's amazing how disciples of Christ are so quick to judge others based on their voting record, giving no effort to get to know people beyond their ballot choices. When people say that elections have consequences, is this what they mean? Do they mean that relationships within the body of Christ will suffer, dissipate, or cease? Elections have consequences. As we consider the words of Jesus this morning, it pains me that we have made enemies of one another within the body of Christ. But whether we have made enemies inside of the body or we have enemies from outside of the body, Jesus' words are no less piercing and timely. I mean, hear Jesus when he spoke to his disciples living in a period of occupation, subjects to another empire, being treated, mistreated. Hear Jesus when he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. If there are any questions about what Jesus means here, he leaves no room for variance here. He's not suggesting some spiritualized and conditional expressions of love. He's not saying just throw flowers at people and say, I love you, then walk away. It's pretty involved love here. Pretty involved love here. He's pretty definitive. He says, love your enemies by doing good to them. Well, what's good? Y'all know what good is. It's not bad. Do good. Be active at doing good to your enemies. He says, bless them. Well, what does that mean? Church, y'all know what that means. It doesn't mean curse them. You bless them. He says, pray for them. He says, don't retaliate. He says, give to them and don't ask for repayment. He says, show mercy. Love is not just some gushy feeling expressed through a phrase. It is an active movement and captures the embodied truth that even though I might not like you or like what you have done to me or are doing to me, I will still seek to do what's in your best interest. I do this because the heart of the gospel that I have received is built on that very truth, that even though we were enemies of God, God broke through, he loved us, he gave his son to redeem us and did what was in our best interest. The gift of love that we grant to one another and to our enemies was spurred on by God's initial love to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love that while we were still sinning sinners, enemies, he showed his love for us. What God has done for us and what he does for us is what we desire. We desire to be loved. We desire to be taken care of and we desire to be treated like one whose life has value. We want to be treated that way. So then, in the way we desire to be treated, Jesus commands that we treat others that way. It may be that we will never be treated that way in return, but we still treat others the way we desire to be treated. It may be that we will continue to, they will continue to hate us and treat us bad or look at us or try to injure us. But still, Jesus speaks the truth into the heart of all those who would follow. He was speaking these words to his disciples, those who were walking with him and listening to him and saying yes to him. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. The golden rule. I guess the question for us to consider in 2019 is this: how golden is the golden rule? And that question is sure to birth other questions. Did Jesus really mean love your enemies? Did he really mean that? Or was that like a figure of speech? You know, was it like love the not so bad enemies, but not the really bad enemies, you can continue to hate them, but the enemies that aren't as bad, love those enemies, but not the really, 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 really bad enemies. Is that what Jesus meant? Did Jesus mean, when Jesus said, do good to them, did he really mean do good? When he said, turn the other cheek, did he really mean turn the other cheek? Don't retaliate? Did he really mean that? When he said, give to all who ask, did he really mean you mean the guy on the side of the road that's been there for days in and days out asking for money? He asked, am I supposed to give to that person too? When he said, lend and don't expect return, what? You got my money? And I can't ask for my money back? You got my money. I need my money. I can't get my money back? Church, I think it's interesting how we negotiate our way out of Jesus' words when they seem inconvenient for us to follow. I can't speak for you, but that's what I do. You know, there are some teachings of Jesus that I'm like, yeah, man, it's plain, it's black and white. But then there's some teachings like these where I'm like, I mean, but what if Jesus, like this happens? Like, so I can negotiate my way. See, let me go look at the Greek. Let me go look at the real context of what he's saying here, because I can negotiate my way out of doing what Jesus says. But those moments where Jesus says things, and trust me, he says plenty of things, it causes me to go, let me read a different translation. Maybe a different translation will help me with this. If the golden rule is still golden, then it would seem that we would love even when it's inconvenient. I'm not here to suggest to anyone here that loving everyone all of the time is easy. Quite frankly, it's not. It gives you heartburn. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to keep loving the people who continue to doing the same things over and over and over and over and over. It's so hard to love people who are just so blatantly disrespectful to you or disrespectful to your beliefs. It's so inconvenient and hard to love people who want to kill you. But Jesus said, love your enemies. If the golden rule is still golden, if it's still something that's centrally important to our faith, we'll continue to love even when it's inconvenient. If the golden rule is still golden, we will love even when it's hard to love the people we don't like. If the golden rule is still golden, we will love even when it's when people don't vote like us. I'm calling on the church. I'm calling on the disciples all over the world to chill out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I can assure you this, and I'm on social media. I like social media. I think it's a wonderful medium to share information, to share life events and all of that things. And I've witnessed a lot of political debates on Facebook. I'm almost certain that no one emerged out of a Facebook debate and said, you know what? I'm changing my mind. It has never happened. It will never happen. No one gets into a Facebook debate with understanding that, you know what, I'm going into this with an open mind and I'm going to change my mind. Doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. So I don't understand why we get sucked into these debates all the time. And I see people going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they never change their mind. It's incredible how we get so sucked into that stuff. And again, it's amazing how we allow outside forces, once again, another tool to come in and divide us. I guarantee Satan is applauding. So easy, so easy. If the golden rule is still golden, we would love in our interactions with those who don't share our Christian identity. There are people who I know don't share my theological and religious convictions, but I love them. Right now, as we speak, the United Methodist Church is involved right now in a special conference right now, and they're debating a very important issue with their church. It is likely over the next 2 days that the United Methodist Church is probably about to go through a major split. Pastor Jeff Greenway across the street, we're really good friends now, and he is heartbroken over this, but he knows that it's inevitable that the church that he loves is about to split. I can tell you that Jeff and I don't agree on everything. We agree on quite a bit. There's some things we just kind of disagree on. But you know what? Even though we have theological differences, I've been on my knees for Jeff Greenway in the United Methodist Church. I have several friends who are in the United Methodist Church, and I'm praying for them because there are a lot of people right now over the next 2 days that will be going through and suffering through depression and heartache because the church they love is about to split. Just because we have a theological difference doesn't mean that I need to love them any less. Amen? And I know that's maybe easier to do when it comes to those who profess Christian faiths alongside of us, but the same goes for those who don't profess Christian faiths with us. It goes for those who are Muslim and Hindu and atheists. I love them. I'm going to love them in the way that I desire to be loved. I'm going to do to them as I would want them to do unto me. If the golden rule is still golden, we will have interactions with those who don't share our Christian identity in a loving way. If the golden rule is still golden, we will love those who are out to scam us. If the golden rule is still golden, we would love through doing good to others, praying for others, and blessing others, even our enemies. If the golden rule is still golden, we will love without exception. If the golden rule is still golden, we will love our enemies. No exceptions. Coming to the close of Black History Month, and I don't know what this month means for any of you, but for me, it's a moment where I like social media because on social media, people are posting stories about the contributions of African Americans in this country and things I didn't know about. You know, some of the contributions of African Americans, inventions, and things you didn't even know that the elevator invented by an African American. The technology and all the study about the first leading up to the first open heart surgery. African-American, there are a lot of contributions here. And undoubtedly, when you think of Black History Month, you're going to think about Dr. Martin Luther King, one of my heroes. Not just for the things that he says that are quotable and kind, but even some of the controversial things that he said and challenging the country to get to a place of racial and cultural harmony. One of the things that he maintained throughout his career, and trust me, when you read the in-depth biographies on Dr. Martin Luther King, it was a struggle to be nonviolent. I can imagine that, you know, getting slapped in the face and sprayed with water hoses and dogs being sick. For some people, that has its limits. Some of you marched with Dr. King in this room. There are some folks that did some things in the 60s with the and you endured some things that most of us will never have an understanding about. And to maintain a stance of nonviolent protest, that's admirable. One of the quotes that Martin Luther King, sprayed all over Facebook, and particularly when it comes to times where we begin to get vitriolic or violent with our rhetoric or even physical with our actions. He says, "Y'all need to understand something. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And so if the golden rule is still golden, church, we need to drive out hate with love. Now, let's have honest conversations about what that means. Does love mean acquiescing and giving in to? Let's have that discussion. But may our discussions not lead to ways of getting out of loving people. May our discussions lead to perhaps better ways to love people. And maybe a better way to love people is not acquiescing, but doing something that is in their bet. Let's have those conversations. Let's not be silly when we talk about, what are you saying, Dion? Just love, just give everybody everything? If that's what you think I mean, man, that's messed up. That's not what I mean. But I will say, I think the body of Christ could do a better job at exhausting ways to love rather than finding ways to get out of loving. If the golden rule is still golden, we'll love our enemies. We'll love them. We'll do good to them. We'll bless them. We'll pray for them. And we'll show mercy to them. And why do we do that? Because at that time when we were still sinners, God, instead of destroying us, God, instead of hating us, he loved us. He did good for us. He prayed for us. He blessed us. And he showed mercy to us. How many of y'all believe that's what your story is about? Do you believe that God loved you while you were still a sinner? Do you believe that God blessed you while you were still a sinner? Do you believe that God showed mercy to you while you were still a sinner? If you believe that, demonstrate that the golden rule is still golden. Love your enemies. And love one another. You see, by this, people will know that you are Christ's disciples. By your love for one another. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says. Love as I have loved you. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? It's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gospel of love. that has penetrated our world in ways that we just knocks us out to think about what you have done to demonstrate and show your love for us. God, we live in a difficult time, a difficult period, where it is so easy to hate one another, dislike each other, disassociate with one another. God, I pray that you would walk us down the hard road of loving, even when it's difficult, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's loving people that try to harm us, even when it's loving people that we don't like, even when it's loving people with different theological positions, even when it's loving people who curse you and don't like you. God, walk us down that difficult road of loving. Loving our enemies. Walk us down the hard road of moving us to pray for our enemies, doing good to our enemies, blessing our enemies, showing mercy to our enemies. Help us to embody what it means to do to others as we would want them to do to us. We need you. We know that the only way that we can love the way that this world needs to be loved is by having an intimate relationship with you. So God, in just a moment, we sing a song that's a prayer, it's a confession that we need you. Apart from you, there is no way that we can love the way that we need to love. But with you, we can love in a way that will transform this world. Apart from you, God, there's no way that we can love within this body the way that love needs to be displayed. But with you, we can love in a way that this body becomes a strong unit, impenetrable by the evil one. God, we want that type of love, and we can only do that with you. So Lord, we need you. We need you in our lives. We need you in our story. We need you in our church. We need you in our theology. We need you in our practice. We need you in our attempt to love as you have loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this song, this is an invitation for us to reconnect to the gospel of love, to accept God's love in your life, to accept God's love in your heart. Maybe you don't feel loved. It's gonna be hard for you to love the way that God loves you if you don't understand or receive God's love for your life. If you don't love yourself, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love. And so maybe this right now is a moment for you to receive God's love like you've never received it before. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a disciple, follower of Jesus Christ, make a profession of Jesus today. Say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe that he is Savior of the world. I believe that he is God's Son. Make a profession of faith in him. Cement that profession by following through with the commandment of Jesus to be baptized, to become an initiated follower of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, becoming the beloved of God. If you're already a baptized believer, you're already a Christian, and you need to feel the presence of God, and it's just something that is absent from your life, let us, the body of Christ, surround you and pray for God's love. If you are struggling with loving your enemies, it may be that you're struggling with seeing and feeling and understanding God's love. We want to pray for God's love to surround you today so that you can be prepared to love the way that God has called us to love. So as we sing this song, if there's a way that we can minister to you today, come as we sing.